there was before the foundation of the world. A plan that had been set in place, the plan of redemption for mankind before man ever came into existence, before time ever came into existence, before the earth stood, before the heavens were above us. There had already been in that plan of redemption, of course, since redemption was the plan of God, there was in connection with redemption the Redeemer that would come. That Redeemer was not called upon until sin entered into the world. And we see a prophecy made in connection with that when we look over in Genesis, the 3rd chapter, in verse 15. After Adam and Eve had sinned, God said, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And in that prophecy, there is a connection with the redemption that would come about from the Redeemer. But already the plan of God. And now the need for redemption, because sin had separated man from God and ever would, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3 and verse 23. When we look back at this plan of salvation, this plan of redemption through the Redeemer, Christ Jesus, we see that it was both for Jew and for Gentile. And when we look over in Luke 24 chapter in verse 21, Luke 24 and verse 21, the two men on the road to Emmaus that was walking with the Redeemer himself made this statement. "But we hope that he was the one," speaking of Jesus, "to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides this, it is now the 3rd day since these things happened." In their mind, the plan of redemption of Israel, even though it was probably a skewed understanding of the redemption that would come through Christ Jesus, not physical but spiritual, they considered the death that he died upon the cross and him being taken down and laid in a grave the end of that hope of redemption. There would be no redeeming. The word that is used there in the Greek in connection with redeem is the Greek word lutroo. And the focus that is given upon that word in connection with redemption is on the deliverance that would be provided by the one that would be the Redeemer, the one redeeming Israel, that they would be delivered. And of course, in these people's mind, as it was in the days of Jesus, usually in connection with the rule and reign of the Roman Empire over them. But not only was Israel to be redeemed, we also see that Gentiles were to be redeemed in this same focus of deliverance. When we look at 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19, 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, Peter says there, "Knowing that you were not ransomed or redeemed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, and now here's the deliverance, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." And so here you have the redemption, that plan of redemption that came about by the Redeemer, not only for Israel, but also for the Gentiles. But we also see another word that is used in connection with redemption, and that redeeming that takes place. And it is the word exargeo in the Greek. And the meaning of this word is really the focus upon the price that was paid. And we see that mentioned in Scripture. When we go back and we look, first of all, at Israel, and the price that was paid by Jesus for Israel in Galatians 3 and verse 13. Galatians 3 and verse 13. "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hanged on a tree.'" There you look at that price that was paid, the ignominy that Jesus experienced in hanging upon a cross just as a common criminal. And that was the price that he paid in connection with the redemption of Israel. But not only them, also the Gentiles would be redeemed by this Redeemer. And in that focus once again of the price that was paid. Notice with me in Titus 2. And there we look at verse 14. Titus 2 and verse 14. "Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness or iniquity, to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Jesus hung upon the cross. That price paid was his death to redeem us from all lawlessness or iniquity. Jesus redeemed us. He is our Redeemer. Paul makes mention of this fact wherever he spoke to the Ephesian elders in Acts the 20th chapter in verse 28. When he told them there, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood." That word purchased there, he redeemed the church. He bought, he paid the price. When we look in 1 Corinthians 6 chapter verse 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, Paul says this to the Corinthian church: "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You are bought, redeemed with a price. So glorify God in your body." You have the Redeemer purchasing those that would be his. We all understand this plan of redemption. We understand that there was and is a Redeemer. We understand that this was set in place before the foundation of the world and then put in place whenever the need came, that is sin entering into the world. And we all understand that. But as I have written on the board this morning, are you a Redeemer? I didn't say the Redeemer. We know who the Redeemer is. That is Jesus Christ. But I'm asking you, are you a Redeemer? And we're going to look at two passages of Scripture in just a moment that has that thought of redeem in it. It has the word redeem in it. And it is this second word that we are going to be looking at in the Greek, and that is the price that is paid. The price that is paid. That Paul uses in two passages of Scripture in connection with us being a Redeemer. Notice, first of all, Ephesians 5. And we look down as we consider this in verse 15. And this is a portion of the reading that was given for us this morning. Ephesians 5 and verse 15. Paul says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Making the best use of or redeeming the time." And he gives the reason why we are to redeem the time or make best use of the time, because the days are evil. I think there's also a sense when we look at this particular passage in which Paul is using the word redeem, of looking back in the past also, and in the sense of making up time for a past way of life that we lived that was not in glory unto God. In other words, time wasted. And look now at a new conviction and a new purpose and a new goal where, because the days are evil and evil is all around us, we look at making now the best use of time that we possibly can. And that is in connection with glory, glorifying God in our life. In Colossians, the 4th chapter and verse 5, Colossians 4 and verse 5, Paul says this: "Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of or redeeming the time." And here I think we have the thought of buying up those moments which others throw away. Taking every opportunity that we have, steadily improving every present moment, as one scholar defines the thought here in the word in connection with redeem. To buy up the time. To improve the opportunity to do the Lord's will. There are some facts in connection with time that we need to all understand and consider. That really has a part in our redeeming the time or making the best use of time. Consider what is stated in Colossians, the 1st chapter, verse 16 and 17. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. Paul, speaking of Jesus, talking of his preeminence, speaking of his deity, his power and authority, he says, "For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him And I want you to notice this. He says, and for him. And he's before all things, and in him all things hold together. All things consist, as King James Version says. But I want you to notice the thought that is there. That whatever is created was created by Christ Jesus. And whatever was created by Christ Jesus was created by Christ Jesus. And whatever was created by Christ Jesus was created for Christ Jesus. Now, I sometimes think that we go back and we just focus in on the thought that God made the earth and he gave it to man and you rule over it and you subdue it and so forth and that's the end of the matter. No, it's all in connection with for Christ Jesus, the exalted Christ. That we should live unto praise and glory unto him. And one of the elements that we have to consider in connection with that creation and what was made by the Creator, Jesus Christ himself, is one element that is held as an idol today, one that is held with great purpose in the hearts and minds of people today, one that they are very protected of, and that is time. That is time. And that's exactly what Paul had talked about in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and verse 16, and also in Colossians 4 and verse 5, that we've already considered. Redeeming the time, making best use of the time, making up for the time that is lost. All those thoughts contained within that. Christ Jesus, the Creator, created time, but not necessarily for us, but for himself.
Amen.
For himself, for us to then use. To make the best use of. You know, in connection with this, there has to be some teaching, some example that is set forth of the best use of time. And I just want you to consider a couple passages concerning Christ Jesus himself being an example of a redeemer, the redeemer of time. And I want you to look at, first of all, John the 20th chapter, verse 30 and 31. John 20, 30 and 31. Now, many are the signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life, eternal life, in his name. Wherever you look at that statement that is made there in connection with Jesus' use of time, his redeeming of time, and that best use of time, consider what John is talking about took place within a span of 3 or 3.5 years. And what we have in Scripture revealed to us concerning what Jesus did is monumental, and it is authoritative, and there is a lot that is said about what he did in redeeming time here upon this earth because he knew he had a purpose. But go even further and look at John the 21st chapter in verse 25, John 21 verse 25. And John says there at the close of this letter, this book, now there are also many other things that Jesus did where every one of them is to be written. I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. And you think about the use of time by the Lord himself. It was created by him, it was created for him, and then we see the example that is set forth by Jesus himself in connection with that time. And we think about what Jesus did with the time that he had, those 3.5 years in which he walked upon this earth. What did he do day in and day out? Well, it is described for us in John 5th chapter, verse 17. My Father works, and I work also. I work hitherto, the King James Version says. And every aspect of his life was an example in the use or the redeeming, the best use of time that could possibly be used because in glory unto God. There were times in which he went separate and apart from himself into a mountain because the flesh was weak. He was also 100% man as he was 100% deity. But even in going away, quite often he was involved in prayer constantly. And when we look at it, we think we have this exhaustive material that is given to us in Scripture concerning Jesus. It doesn't touch the totality of what Jesus did in him redeeming the time, the best use of time while he was here upon this earth. Part of the reason that he acted that way, he understood that he had a purpose. He had a purpose, and that purpose involved exactly the word that we're describing now from the Greek that is focused on the price that is paid. There was a price to be paid. And his focus was upon that. When you look over in Hebrews, the 10th chapter and verse 5, the Hebrew writer there speaking by prophecy or of prophecy in connection with Jesus Christ said, "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me." Jesus knew his purpose. And with that goal fixed in mind, that purpose for which he came, and that which had been determined before the foundation of the world, he redeem the time to its best use to fulfill that purpose of him being the Redeemer. When we look at this, we understand we have a great example. We have a great example of redeeming time, not wasting time. We have an exhortation concerning time in Scripture. We don't know, first of all, about our time. As far as time here upon this earth. Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter and verse 12. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 12. "For man does not know his time. Like fish they are taken in an evil net, and like birds they are caught in a snare. So the children of man are snared at an evil time when it suddenly falls upon them." And that time will come for the majority of all of us here. For those that live a portion of life that will take us into our older age. Those evil days come. Those come upon us that the same writer continues to speak of when we look over in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. When those evil days come, and there he talks about, of course, the defilement and betrayal of the flesh, if you live long enough. Disease. Just the ravages of age as described there, where the sight goes, the hearing goes, the teeth goes, and so forth. And as we look at this, we don't know about our time. We know that there is a time that is allotted to us as long as we are alive, but we don't know the length of that time. And because of that, we know what to do with our time. I want you to understand this also, and I think that we all recognize this. The fact is that we make time for the things that we want to do. That's without a doubt. You may be called to something, an invitation to something that you really don't want to do, and you already have other plans from doing what this invitation would keep you from doing, and so you make the statement, "I don't have time." That's really not accurate. The accuracy is that I don't want to use my time in the invitation that you gave me because I want to use my time in what I've already determined. That's what I want. The time is there. It's all exactly the same amount. And I want you to consider in that also going back to Jesus and his use of time for the very first time in his existence when he became flesh. He was bound by time as a man here upon this earth. Something that he did not experience while he was deity, or rather in the divine existence, more accurately. And so he understood the limitations that were there, but he also understood once again that purpose. And each and every one of us, we have time always to do what we want to do. And if we have other plans and something else comes up that is better than that, we will change those plans and we use the statement, "We'll make time." Well, we don't really make time. It's just that we've changed our plans and we are then following our desire. Time can't be made. 24 hours in a day, that's just a fact. That's all that there is. But the determination is here and that purpose is here in consideration of we know what to do with our time. First of all, we understand that in redeeming time, it involves the proper understanding that there's a time and a purpose for everything here upon this earth. And this, of course, is the words that is written once again by Solomon in Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 8. Bear with me, let's read this. Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8. "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. When he says that there, it's going to be placed in an appropriate aspect. In other words, there is time for the appropriate things here upon this earth. And he goes on and he says, a time to be born, time to die, time to plant, time to pluck up, time to kill, time to heal, time to break down, time to build up, time to weep, time to laugh, time to mourn, time to dance, time to cast away stones, and time to gather stones. Time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, time to seek, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to haste, time for war, and a time for peace. I believe that the problem that Christians run into in connection with the best use of time, a truly redeeming time, is being involved in things that are not really the appropriate things of time that has been given to us under heaven. And what happens quite often is that in their use of time, wherever it is not appropriate, special things become commonplace because they're no longer common. Memories are made on things that are special, not on things that are expected or the normal commonplace things. And I believe that we see this when we look at parents rearing their children in today's society. And that parents are making sure that their children have the hyper experience of entertainment day in and day out in their lives, rather than the appropriate things that have been set forth under heaven by God that Solomon speaks of in Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter. And they make sure that in that hyper experience of entertainment, that time is made for them. And that happens quite often. And it may be setting children in front of a TV. And I'll tell you, there's some good TV shows that are on for children. I'm not saying that there's not. But that TV is not to be the babysitter. That TV is not to be the teacher. That TV is not to be the crutch for redeeming time that is not purposeful under heaven. And that happens in today's society. It happens. And not only TV, but games on the internet and so forth, all those things. Whatever it is that a child becomes focused upon, that is what they're going to place in their minds. And not only place in their minds, they're also going to come to a point of expecting that that take place always. And I'm afraid that there are parents that nurture that thought and attitude rather than looking back at what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. In which those children see, yes, there's a time for fun, but there's also time, and I see mama and I see daddy doing this. There's a time for contemplative thought, for meditation. There's time for teaching God's word. There's time for me with my parents. There's time for the purpose that has been given unto me in serving my God to teach those that are given to me by God. But again, there are those that live a life where this hyper experience of entertainment they think is the best for their children. And with that expectation that is there, I'm afraid to see what will be the effects wherever adulthood comes and they find out, no, you have to go out at some point in time and make a living in this world. And not only that, you have to go out and at some point in time you have to make a choice between serving God or rejecting His Word. And if the TV or entertainment, the hyper-entertainment that has been given to them, fed to them day in and day out, is all that they receive, they're going to come up with a choice that will then accentuate the hyper-entertainment experience in their life because that will be always what they are seeking. Parents, as we look at this, time is precious with your little ones. Redeem, buy up, make the best use of your time with them. And the fact of the matter is that they need you. They need you. When we look, of course, over in Ephesians 6 chapter, verses 1 through 4. Paul says there, children, obey your parents of the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long in the land. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There then we get back to the very purpose that is given not only in this life, but now also the purpose that is given in parenting. And as we look at that, that is what is being left off in our society today, because the formula that is involved here, quite often one or the other parent does not involve themselves in, and sometimes the parent is not around. And Satan knows exactly what he is doing when he has broken down the home and the marriage relationship. In destroying that, what he has done is hedge his bet on the future of those that are being raised by one parent and maybe by entertainment as the other. Or two parents that don't realize their purpose in serving God, and that they have fathered and given birth to a child here upon this earth, but after that they've washed their hands of the situation because they want to use time for their own purpose. But all things were made by Him and for Him, including time. As time goes on, those children get older. And those that are children, that are true children of God, recognize that time is precious with their parents. At age 12, I lost my mother. At age 18, I lost my father. I don't think that Greg has much memory of his father at all. He was very young. He was 5 years old when our father died. Time is precious. And sometimes life happens where one parent is taken in that way. But what we do, or what we must do as children of God, is certainly redeem the time so that there is the fond memories that is there, not of mom and daddy's hyper experience of entertainment that they offered to me, but rather their purpose of serving God and what they taught me. Job, the 32nd chapter, verse 6 through 8. Elihu answers Job. And remember, Job has been chided by the friends that came, the initial three friends that came, and now Elihu, who's a younger man that comes also. And they are all chiding Job, and they're telling him, you wouldn't be in this condition that you were in except that you sinned. Because the things that have come upon you doesn't happen to those that don't sin. You sinned against God, and here you are denying it, being hard-headed, and you're not admitting it. And this is something that is said that we need to take note of by Elihu. He says, I am young in years, verse 6 of chapter 32 of Job. You are aged, therefore I was timid and afraid to declare my opinion to you. I said, let days speak and many years teach wisdom, but it is the spirit of man and breath of the Almighty that makes him understand. And then he goes off on a tirade of misunderstanding in connection with Job's condition. I bring this passage out in order to look, first of all, at some true statements that were made here by Elihu. There is time to be quiet. There's a time to listen by those that are older, those that have lived life, those that have experienced not only the positive in this life, but also the negative in this life. And it's time to take from them. And if Elihu had stopped his statement at verse 6 or verse 7, he would have done well. But he continued. Children, time is precious with your parents and you need to listen. And as they grow older because of the experience that they had, and especially if they are thoughtful Christians that look at the purpose for which they are here upon this earth to fulfill, they will give guidance and direction. And children with those aged parents that have that experience, redeem the time with them. Buy it up. Take every opportunity that you have. And then those that are Christians and those that are not Christians. Time is precious to serve our Lord and prepare for eternity. It gets back to this purpose, a price that is paid. You see, in redeeming time here upon this earth, there's a price that is paid. And sometimes it's not what we want to do. But it is in respect of what God would have us to do, and not only that, but also to fulfill the function that we're to be functioning in. That is, if you're a parent, be a parent. Don't put the raising of your children off on someone else or on electronics. But redeem the time with them. And then as we look at this, we go back to Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, verse 9 through 14. The preparation for eternity, that is our purpose as human beings here upon this earth. Besides being wise, the debater also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. The debater sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads. Like nails firmly fixed are collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. Verse 13, the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment and every secret thing, whether good or evil. We will stand before our God, each and every one of us, in respect of answering to the Redeemer how we redeemed our time here upon this earth. There will be a time of judgment. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 17. I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every matter and for every work. Redeeming our time involves selflessness and not selfishness. Excuse me. True redeeming of time is selflessness because it determines and understands and recognizes the price paid in living upon this earth. Paul puts it this way in Romans 13 and verse 11. And this, knowing the season, that now it is high time for you to wake out of sleep, for now is the salvation nearer to us than we first believed. And as day by day rocks on, time clicking off behind us, never to be regained again, we make the best use of that time in going forward, because that's the only direction in which it goes. It doesn't go backwards. We understand the importance of the high time day in and day out in our lives. I want you to consider a statement that's made by Jesus to the church of Laodicea in Romans, the 3rd chapter, verses 14 through 19, in connection with redeeming the time, paying the price. He says to this church and to the angel of the church of Laodicea, write the words of the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works, you are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold, hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, I have need of nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel of you to buy, redeem, go to the market, a kindred word to the word redeem there. I counsel you to buy, to redeem from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. And the accusation there, when he says, I counsel you to buy, I know that there are some aspects in connection with that city concerning the eye ointment that was made in that particular place, and the richness that was there, and the garments, of the material that was used for garments in that area, but also he's telling them, you redeem the time. You redeem your actions. You be a redeemer of what God has given unto you that you can affect. Not that we can change time, but rather it's the use of time. And so this morning, I first of all ask those that are not Christians, if you've not been baptized for your sins, if you've not rendered obedience unto God, remember the words also of Solomon in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, in verse 1. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. It doesn't matter about when you come to the Lord, but how wonderful it is when there is a young person that recognizes they need to be a Christian. How wonderful that is. Because then they use the best use of their time in the strength of youth to serve God. They recognize their purpose and they glorify Him in their lives. What a wonderful use of time. What a wonderful redeemer of time they become. But then I also want to talk to us. Those of us that have been baptized, those of us that are Christians, are we really redeeming the time? And you think, but we could go to so many different places on this. We think about the words, of course, that were stated by Paul to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God. Don't have time for that. No, you choose not to do that. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord, 122nd Psalm, verse 1. But not on Sunday afternoon, not on Wednesday. I'm not going to redeem that time. I'm going to use it for my own purpose. No, it's not yours to use. Remember, all things are created by Him and for Him. There are others that can give to the work of this congregation. No. The responsibility is yours. Redeem that time to involve yourselves in the work. Are we living that life of being a redeemer of time as we should? The end of this time will come. Let us be prepared. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.